be seated.
All right, you may be seated. Good singing here tonight. I think some of you might even be in a good mood. That's a good thing, huh? The sun's out, and that's a good thing. Brother Tim Stiles, can you come down here? I'm going to hand you this microphone that I think we're going to need here in just a little bit. And you can turn it on when we need it. Being such a good sound man as you are, we're going to put you to work tonight. Now, we are all creatures of habit. You know what? And none of us like to be, you can go back there and I'll call you up when we need it. You'll understand this in a minute. By the way, we're going to go to Psalm 85. We're going to start there. We are all creatures of habit and we don't like to be out of our comfort zone. Is there anybody that likes to be out of their comfort zone? A few people. Okay. Yes, we kind of like to be in our comfort zone. My wife never meets a stranger, by the way. If I'm ever out of my comfort zone with new people, believe it or not, I'm glad when she's with me because, you know, in about 10 seconds, she's like best friends with these new people that we're talking to, and that kind of helps me get out of my comfort zone a little bit. Tonight, we're going to be out of our comfort zone just a little bit. You say, how are we going to be out of our comfort zone? Well, number one, did y'all get a paper coming in? Did you get the paper? We're going to look at the side that says revival-ready people or revival-resistant people. Now, here's the pretty version, okay? Nice postcard like this. This came in a packet of information that Brother Vaughn sent with us that I found very interesting. I thought, wow, this is very interesting when we look at revival-ready people versus revival-resistant people. If we have time, we'll do the backside, revival-ready churches versus revival-ready versus revival-proof churches. If we have the right picture of God, if we understand God for who He is, a God that loves us and a God that wants to bless us and a God that wants us to be right with Him and that wants to be close to Him and that wants to use us and that wants to fulfill us and that wants to meet every need, we'll have no problem when it comes to this matter of revival and asking God what the psalmist asked in Psalm 85 and verse 6. We started out here this morning in Sunday school. The psalmist asked this in Psalm 85 and verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And in Sunday school hour, we define revival really as the normal Christian life. As we look at the Word of God and we see what God did through His people, it's the normal Christian life. Sometimes we have a tendency, as the songwriter wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And sometimes we don't recognize that we're off course until we start looking at some papers on Wednesday night that evaluate and cause us to ask questions. And we start looking at papers like this where we think concerning revival and where am I really? God will work in our lives, and in doing so, sometimes He has to make us feel a little bit uncomfortable so that He can expose needs in our lives, so that He can deal with that, and so that He can use us and fulfill us in a greater way. Sometimes we know, you know, we're our biggest problem. You know, every young person, well, I'm going to move out. And I said that to my dad as a kid. He said, okay, go ahead. And you know what else he said? And you'll take your biggest problem with you. Me, right? It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So tonight, we're going to do something different. We're going to go through, number one, we're going to go through a whole lot of points here. There's 15 of them. This will make you appreciate my three-point outlines, okay? All right, we're going to go through 15 points, all right? Now, here's the other thing that we need to do. And if you think a little bit along the lines of maybe a Sunday school, a big Sunday school class, where it's a little more informal, right? When I was a kid, sometimes we would have sword drills. Remember sword drills? You hold the Bible up, but you had to hold it from the binding like this, you know? You couldn't hold it like this. You had to hold it like this. And then some people have them easy find tabs. Remember them? Yeah, I haven't seen them in a long time, but those were outlawed when I was a kid. You can't have those easy fine tech because we got to figure out. And they would say, give the verse and the reference, and they'd say, charge. And you'd have to go through and try to find it without tearing the pages of your Bible. Any of you ever tear the pages of your Bible trying to find a verse? You know, all the things we did when we were kids for a piece of candy. You know what I'm saying? In any event, we're not going to have a sword drill tonight, okay? But I thought if I start going through 15 passages, I put myself out here where you are, you know? My ADD would kick in at about number 5, and I'd just sit there, and I'd just kind of try to listen, and I'd quit researching all these passages. So what we need to do is this. We need some help. And so some of you, how many of you know how to read? Trick question. So what I need you to do is I need you to help me by looking up some of these verses for me, okay? Now, here's the other thing. I mean, I'm really putting you outside of your box. There are people that are watching via live stream. And here's the problem. When you stand up to read your verse without a microphone, it's going to be like this. They won't be able to hear it. And so I'm going to ask you to reach real deep outside of your comfort zone. And I'm going to ask, we need to start with the men. Where are the men, the leaders, the men? All right? And Tim Stiles has a microphone here. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through, we're first going through the section that says revival ready versus revival resistant people. Okay? And hopefully you have your glasses. I tried to blow it up. Believe it or not, the little card here is actually smaller than the handout. Okay? And I want to get us thinking concerning this matter of revival. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I a revival-ready person, or am I a revival-resistant person? And really, if I'm resisting, what it really comes down to really our picture of God. I remember years ago doing a counseling situation, and I was counseling a couple, and we sat down, and I put the Bible right in the middle of the table. And I said, are you willing? It started with a man. And I said, are you willing to do? I really don't have any answers, but God has the answers. And are you willing, as I show you what the Word of God has to say, are you willing to submit to the Word of God? And the guy said, yes. And I said to the lady, I said, are you willing to submit to the Word of God? And she said, no. I said, okay. I took the Bible and I set it aside. And I said, let me ask you this question. Why do you think so negatively about God? What is it about God that you're afraid of? What is it about God that causes you to be a little bit or a lot of bit uncomfortable? You see, our picture of God is absolutely vital, the right picture of God. Now, unfortunately, sometimes young people that grow up in a home that is split, sometimes if they have an abusive father, it can affect their picture of God. And they can think that God is up in heaven just waiting to zap them with lightning. There are people that actually think that. They can think that God is going to get angry, or they live under this fear and pressure that God's mad at me, or God doesn't want to talk to me, or whatever. And that's so unfounded. When I get into the Word of God and I find my picture of God from the Word of God, when it comes to this matter of being a revival-ready person, Lord, I want it. I want all that you have for me. We quoted the verse this morning in Malachi, prove me now and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God is a blessing God. He's a God that wants to bless us, that wants to give us peace, that wants to meet our needs, that wants to be our all in all. You know what the challenge is? It's us. We sometimes resist what God wants to do. So let me ask you to analyze yourself. We're going to all start together in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And then I need some guys here we'll start with the guys, but we're not going to exclude the gals because I think there are some ladies in this church that can probably read. And if you just read a verse, it'll be all right. Don't be preaching the verse now. You just read a verse, we'll be all right. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And let's start over here, Brother Talbot. If you could do the second one, And Brother Reynolds, if you could do the third verse down there on the sheet. And Steve, how about you do the fourth verse over there? Start with the younger guys. This Steve here. You can read the, yep, so you're going to read Ephesians 4. No, you're not, because we'll keep the guy in number 3. Richard, you're going to do both Ephesians. You're going to do Galatians 6:3, okay? And then we'll assign the other ones over here, all right? So let's get started. 1 Corinthians 11 is the passage we read about the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says this in verse number 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Why? Because we don't want to eat or drink unworthily. For we, if we, verse 31, would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. All right? Our first characteristic is this. Revival-ready people are always willing to critique themselves thoroughly versus revival-resistant are always waiting to criticize others thoughtlessly. You know, it's easier to find negative in other people. You know, you got to get the big log out of your own eye before you get the little wood speck out of someone else. And it's really about not trying to be introspective. What's it about? It's about being honest with God. Do you know that God knows us inside and out? He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything. And it's about being honest, looking at ourselves thoroughly. Number two, I'll read the statement, actually read the verse. Brother Talbot, there you go.
And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient.
Isn't that amazing? All that the Lord hath said, we will do. I don't know if he'll preach this message when he comes here or not. But the message that I remember hearing Brother Vaughn preach was a message entitled, Willing, But Not Yet Obedient. And I was amazed at how many of God's people in the setting I was in were willing, but weren't obedient in an area. You see, revival-ready people demonstrate a delightful spirit of obedience that says, what's next? Versus a disgusted spirit of rebellion that says, what now? What else do I have to do? All right, number three. Brother Reynolds, you're reading two passages in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and verse 13 is our third description, and we'll have you to read it. Go ahead.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
We looked at this morning when it comes to not comparing ourselves with ourselves. The standard is Jesus. Sometimes we compare ourselves with each other. We think, I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing good spiritually because I'm not like this one and this one and this one and this one. When the reality is God wants to do a work in us and wants to conform us to Jesus Christ. So using Jesus Christ to measure their spiritual state of being versus using other people to measure their spiritual state of being. Brother Reynolds, read the next one, number four.
With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Number four is develop a spirit and display an attitude of meekness versus developing a root and displaying the fruit of bitterness. Bitterness focuses on me, my rights. Do you know we don't have any rights? You know what we all deserve is to go to hell. God in his mercy saved us. And by the way, if we compare us here in America to people in third world countries, we have it super, really awesomely good. How's that for enough adjectives in there? A spirit of meekness, a spirit of humility, and we looked at that this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Let's look before we get to number five here. Brother Soli, you want to read a verse for us? Can you read? No, you're going to read number six, okay? You're going to read Psalm 118, verse 5. Psalm 118, verse 5. And let me assign some over here. Tyler, you're going to read number 7 there. Steve Brown, we have you read number 8. Let's see, Jay, we'll skip you because you'll be mad at me forever if I make you read in public. He want him to read? All right, Jay, your dad trumped me. He's the dad, so I have to submit to the authority in your home. And so you're reading number 9. Okay, Jay? Number 9. Brother Thomas, you want to read number 10? And all right, and we'll stop there. All right. Give the mic to Steve, and you're reading the Galatians passage. You got to use the mic so they can hear you on live stream. All right, here we go. This is the Galatians 6:3 passage number 5. Go ahead.
For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Are humbled, revival-ready people are humbled by what God knows they are, as opposed to proud of who they think they are. You know, one of the biggest challenges we have is pride. We think ourselves to be more than God allows us to do something. He allows us to accomplish something. He allows some, and we take credit for it. Pride is a big time hindrance to revival. Brother Soley, read Psalm 18, verse 5. We're on number 6. 118, number verse 5. 118, verse 5.
I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place.
Wonderful. Revival-ready people recognize desperate measures in prayer as a first resource, as opposed to desperate measures in prayer as a last resource. Revival-ready people walk with the Lord. They see prayer as important. They see prayer as a necessity. Brother Stiles, we need the microphone up here to Tyler. Up here to Tyler, and we're looking at number 7. Proverbs 28:13.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
What a verse. Confess and forsake, and what do we have? Mercy. Whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. How can that be true? It can be true because God sees everything about us. We sometimes think we can hide our sin from everybody, but we can't hide it from the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord, according to this verse, is contingent upon our doing what? Our dealing with the sin in our life. And so we see revival-ready people are quick to confess. Revival-resistant are quick to cover. Number 8, 2 Corinthians 3. Did you give it to Steve Brown? Jay. All right, Jay.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
All right, revival-ready people allow the Holy Spirit to have unrestricted freedom in their life versus allowing the Holy Spirit to have limited access in their life. You know, I've known individuals, you stand up to preach and you say this, I can see it. Now, it hasn't been here and it hasn't been for a long time, okay? But you stand up and you say, we are going to preach on, and there are some people that will immediately turn it off. Oh, I know where I'm at on that, or I don't want to hear this. Or, do you know if you have a position about something and it's a Bible position and someone stands up and wants to challenge your position on whatever it is, we ought to be open, shouldn't we? Let me say, Lord, I'm open. My position's going to hold if my position is biblically based, and I shouldn't have a resistance, if you would. If I'm ready for revival, if I want God to work, I'm willing to say this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, it's me. I want to change. What a great verse. Number 9, 2 Corinthians 7, 9 to 11. Steve?
Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter.
Revival-ready people view repentance as desirable, a desirable experience. I want to be right. Versus those that would see it as deplorable. getting right. Let's look at the next one, number 10. Did we assign Matthew 18 yet? Yeah. Jim Thomas, Matthew 18.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Look at this next one here. I've heard people, it's about me and God. And it is about me and God. But when me and God are where we should be, it's going to affect me and thee. Right? And you look at this aspect of reconciliation, driven, actively seek reconciliation when offended by another, as opposed to aggressively seek revenge, or we could add, do nothing. Do you know, I can't think of an area in the Bible where God's people cut that verse out more than the verse that Jim Thomas read. The Bible says if your brother offend you or you offend your brother, you're supposed to go to your brother. You're not supposed to go to someone else in the church and talk to them about it. Unless, of course, it's a mom or dad, somebody you're counseling with. And the person that counsels you should tell you what? Go to your brother, right? I trust if you come here negative about another church member and you go to one of the deacons, that deacon's going to look at you and say, have you talked to them about it? Go talk to them about it and get it right. People, hey, we're all different, aren't we? We all have different personalities, have different abilities. We all have different talents. We have different, some of us, different giftings. But God wants us all to work together as one, as His church, and to be united. Which means what? Sometimes offenses come. And I have to be willing to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I have to be willing to go to an individual and say, this bothered me. I think sometimes we could be a little more gentle when we confront people. Maybe we could go to them and say something like this. Now, you know, this could be me, and maybe I'm reading into this, but it bothered me when you did X, you know. Sometimes we go at them and say, you know what you did? You lousy, I'm not even sure if you're saved the way you're treating me. You know, we just blow it up. Reconciliation is very important. Pete, I'm going to skip you because you're holding your child. Larry, unless you're desperate to read. Larry, you want to read a verse? I'm going to give you 2 Corinthians 7:1, all right? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Ernie, we're going to give you Matthew 23:25. Find the verse in there about the heart there, Ernie, all right? You don't have to read all of those, but you can. And then we've got three more. Let's see here. Did we skip anybody over here? Jim Becker, you want to read a verse? Give him, Burl, help him find, let's see here, 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. All right, so Matthew 6:9. Let's see here. Anybody else? Caleb, all right, good. Caleb, let's read Matthew 6:9-10. All right, and then number 15, Matthew 5:6. Well, I guess, George, you want to read Matthew 5:6? All right, great. I saw you looking at me like, ask me, ask me, ask me. Class, you're doing great. Isn't this outside of the box? It's a little bit outside of the box. But we're asking God, we want to be revival ready. You know, when we think about Brother Vaughn coming, we're asking God to use him in our lives. But wouldn't it be awesome if God used us in his life? I think so. I think it goes both ways. All right, so let's read. Who did I give to? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Larry?
7:9?
7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1.
Having therefore these purposes, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and flesh of spirit, perfection, holiness, in the fear of God.
Whoa, what a verse. Having what? Having all these promises, what are we doing? We're to cleanse ourselves. Revival-ready people driven by a passion for personal holiness as opposed to driven by a passion for personal happiness. You see, we often do what we do because makes me happy, makes me feel good or look good or whatever. And some of those things aren't necessarily wrong. But our number one ought to be what? Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It ought to be about Him. All right, who has the next verse? Because I kind of lost track of who has what. We're looking at inward conditions. Is that you, Ernie? All right.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean out the outside of the cup and out of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them also may be clean.
That's good. That's it. That's all we need. Huh. Pretty straightforward, huh? Woe unto you, you hypocrites. Huh? That's pretty strong. But Christ knew the heart. And sometimes we have a tendency to focus on the outward impression instead of the inward condition. If we're right with God and we're what we need to be, it will flow out, right? It will flow out of a life. We don't have to focus on the making an impression or whatever. No, we can just be us and allow Christ to live through us. The Bible says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Number whatever. What's the next one? Number 13. All right, Matthew 6. Who's got Matthew 6? Caleb, all right, he's bringing the microphone to you. Tim, you're doing a good job. You're making a good sound man tonight. Wonderful.
After this manner, therefore, he prayed, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done done in heaven as it is, as in earth as it is in heaven.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now think about this. How perfectly is God's will done in heaven? I don't think He gets thrown by something that isn't done correctly. Should not our desire be, it's an amazing thought, thy will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. That's surrender. That's us saying, my way doesn't matter. It's about you and about your way. Number 13 is they are sweetly surrendered to the will of God, not stubbornly resistant to the will of God. All right, number 14 and 15. Who has number 14? 1 Peter 5, 8. Brother Jim, you have 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Go ahead, Tim, just hold it up. All right, there you go.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Number 14, revival-ready people are alert and aware of the spiritual attacks of the enemy, as opposed to casual and complacent about spiritual warfare with the enemy. Alert and aware. The devil hates you. The devil hates the fact that you come to church. The devil will do everything he can, and I'm not accusing you of listening to the devil if you can't make it a night, okay? But the devil will do everything he can to try to get you to not be here Sunday morning or Sunday night or Monday night or Tuesday night. He'll do everything he can. You know, it's the message that you miss that is the best. So if we don't miss any of them, we'll get it all, right? All right, number 15, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. Who did I give this to? All right, George? All right, give him the microphone so he can, Matthew 5 and verse number 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is the next word? Shall. It's not might be, or there's a good possibility, or hopefully shall be filled. An insatiable appetite for the truth of the Word of God, as opposed to an indifferent attitude toward the truth of the Word of God. You know why we're not filled? It's because we don't hunger after righteousness. If we hunger, we'll be filled. Flip the page. We're not going to read through all these verses here, but I want you to see obviously, a revival-ready people must start before a revival-ready church. When you think about the aspect of, from God's standpoint, God's the only thing that hindered him is unbelief. Unbelief on the part of people. Let me just read these through real quick, and then I'll challenge you, and we'll be finished. Revival-ready churches are dead to public opinion and desperate for vital union with God, as opposed to satisfied with the appearance of spiritual vitality without the reality. I'll let you look up these verses on your own. Are we about pleasing God? Are we about public opinion? Number two, revival-ready churches may be poor or prosperous, but they feel they are in need of everything. Often, revival-proof churches are often prosperous and believe they are in need of nothing. Revival-ready churches are on speaking terms with God and attentive to His voice, as opposed to dull of hearing and seldom hear the speaking voice of God. And I come back to, again, I'm amazed at how many Christian people just don't read their Bible, pray every day, and grow. That's what they're talking about here. God's people taking time with Him. Number four, seek to practice total obedience, which we looked at, in regardless of outcomes, we're going to obey the Lord. By the way, if we face persecution in coming days, we'll all have to make a decision. Am I going to do what I know I'm supposed to do, or am I going to cave in and not make an impact? I'm glad the early church did what was right, even if it meant they were stoned like Stephen. Number five, are sickened by business as usual and long for the unusual business of revival. Just the status quo. Love God enough, number six, to follow the biblical pattern regarding church discipline and dealing with sin. Number seven, do not worship the past. They prepare for the future. And look ahead and look to do and be what God wants us to be. Number eight, revival-ready churches are painfully aware of their own overwhelming needs. And obviously, again, we're looking at spiritual needs in our lives rather than just thinking, well, we're better than whoever. They long for Jesus to be in their midst, number nine. Don't just want to go through the motions. When is the last time that you met with Jesus? I mean, you were reading your Bible, and God just spoke to you. And you said, wow, God spoke to you. You know, God wants to meet with us. We pray in a prayer time, two or three are gathered in His name. He's in the midst. But sometimes we're not aware of His presence in the midst. He wants to speak to us. Number 10, despise a form of godliness. They desire God's power. Lord, I want Your power, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, His power. Revival-ready churches are committed to principle and have abandoned religious politics. We're living by the principle of the Word of God. Number 12, anticipate divine interventions. Don't expect any divine interruptions. You know, we like to have life as normal. We like everything to be routine and just have things as normal. But you know what? When God steps in, think about the Bible stories, you know. Think about Moses. God kind of used him in a great way, but he kind of turned his world upside down. Think about Gideon. I mean, God's with you. Well, if God's with me, why is everything such a mess? Well, I want to use you to fix the situation. Think about Mary. You know, hey, you're going to have a baby. God, when He, sometimes we kind of don't want to be too much out of our comfort zone. We don't want to say, well, I have to go to the mission field. That'd be really uncomfortable or whatever. We need to let God be God and let God have His way with us no matter what that means. And by the way, His way for us is way better than our way for us. Amen. Let me give you a few thoughts and we're done. Number one, I want you to pray every day this week. Will you pray every day this week for these meetings? Okay? Let's pray every day. Put on your prayer list and say, I'm going to pray every day this week for these meetings. I want God to work in my church. I want God to work in my life. Number two, let me encourage you to fast at least one meal. Pick a meal. If you want to fast a whole day, fast a whole day. Just pick a meal and say, I am going to take this time And not just say, well, I'm not going to eat. Try to take that time, if it's a 30-minute lunch hour or whatever, and say, I'm going to spend that 30 minutes extra this week, whatever day it is, and I'm going to use that time to spend some time in prayer for myself, for my church, for people that I'm inviting. Most of you have a church directory. Pray through the directory. See, I'm going to pray for each member of the directory that God would do a work in their life, okay? And then, number three, would you plan to be here? You say, yeah, it's night. I don't like to drive at night. Well, look, it's a 7. It's still light out here. And you know, we might be done at 8 or a little after 8, and we'll make sure the parking lot lights are on. Listen, if you can't come because of nighttime, we'll come pick you up, all right? We'll pick you up and bring you here. Do you know what's exciting? When God's people come, God's people can move together. You know, sometimes I'll have a meeting or whatever. I'll go to a preacher's meeting, and I'll come home. And, of course, us guys, we're of short words compared to you ladies, right? And my wife will say, how was it? And I say, it was great. Well, what happened? Well, God met with us. And it was great. Well, what else? God met with us. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to explain sometimes. But you know what? When she's here with me, and I say to her, wasn't that great? God met with us. She'll say, yeah, he sure did. And she'll expound on it. You know, I think this was cool, and this was neat, and this was neat. You know, she'll fill in all the details. And as a church, as we let God work in us together, as we're here, and we say, God, would you work in us? You know what? We'll all see God do a work. And that'll be great. God wants to do great things through Victor Baptist Church. We got to believe him. And we got to allow him to make us a little uncomfortable that we might be what he wants us to be and do the work he wants us to do until he calls us home to heaven. Lord, we love you today.